You are listening to the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast, the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Here's your host, Tyus France.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast. I'm your host, Tyus France. Normally, I have Alex here. He's usually always sitting to my left. But today, we are doing something a little bit different, which is going to be really fun. I've got Sam Toll on the line. He's our communications director. He's not in Las Vegas because, you know what, Nevada is a big place. So thank you, Sam, for being here with me today.
Tyus, I got to tell you, it's really great to be here. I'm excited to be able to talk to our group. And I am coming to you from Gold Hill, Nevada, which is in the shadow of Virginia City up here in Story County. So I really thank you for having me today.
Tell me what's going on with the Libertarian Party up there.
So it's a different scene than it is down there in Clark County. Obviously, you know, we're in the rurals, and so there are, you know, fewer people. There's probably as many people in Story County as there are in the bars this morning in Vegas. But it's a lot of fun to be able to spread the message of liberty. Folks are clearly, you know, leaving the duopoly, the Republicans and the Democrats, and they're checking us out. They're excited about some of the things that we're talking about, and it's a lot of fun to be able to represent up here. A lot of neat stuff happening.
Well, I want to thank you because since you've been on board, you've been very, very helpful to me. I think you're technically my boss, so that's cool. So if you hear me pandering, there's definitely some incentive for me on that.
Right on. Yeah, I like to say there's, you know, people look at me, oh, you libertarians are a bunch of anarchists. And I look at them and I say, yeah, so what's wrong with that? Doesn't mean there's no rulers, no rules, there's just no rulers.
Sure.
So yeah, I would like to say we're colleagues and we're arm in arm in the fight to spread the message of liberty.
You know, that's an interesting thing. Maybe we should to dive into that about what your philosophy is, because we definitely have minarchists and anarchists and all of those different things within our party. And just I'm curious kind of where you stand and how you view yourself within our party philosophically.
So it's really interesting. I call myself a reformed liberal, a lifelong Democrat. I was born and raised up here in Northern Nevada, born in Carson City, raised all my young adult life in Gold Hill. My father and my mother, both, you know, Democrats. And I moved to California, started a company, and, you know, ran a business down there for 20 years. And I really enjoyed being a capitalist and a free market guy. Didn't really realize that I had drifted away from the Democratic values, and actually the Democratic Party actually drifted away from me, being raised as an anti-war, you know, freedom, you know, anti-drug war, you know, sort of free market guy. I recognized at one point, right after I voted for Barack Obama, listening to his Hope and Change message, which I found to be very encouraging, and then watching him take office in day one and basically run all that stuff through the shredder, I began to realize that the Democratic Party didn't really represent me. I, of course, then tuned into Ron Paul and his revolution, you know, message, and realized that, you know, as most people are inside, you know, hey, I'm actually a libertarian. I can really relate to almost everything that they talk about. And as I've learned more about the Libertarian Party and done more reading on, you know, folks like Rothbard and Hayek and, you know, Bastiat and many of the core libertarian thinkers, Lysander Spooner, I've become fully engulfed. But what's interesting is I haven't really done a lot of studying on minarchist and cap. I mean, I know the terms, and I think that there's a little bit of all in that in me, but one of the things that I listen to a lot of podcasts. I really enjoy both Jason Stapleton and Tom Woods, and Stapleton has what he calls the five pillars of liberty, which he describes as, you know, small government, less taxes, self-ownership, tolerance, and individualism. I think I got them right. Anyway,
peace and power. Somebody will quiz you on that. We're going to get emails on that one.
Right on. But all of those really resonate with me. You know, as a businessman, when I first started my company in 1986, the people within the government that I dealt with were spectacularly helpful, totally tried to cut through the red tape. And by the time I shut my business down, which was an interesting story, I did so because the Air Quality Management District wanted me to put in an $80,000 air recovery system because I bought alcohol to run a job that I made $500 on. That was the last straw for me. But the point is that by the time my business career, I decided to shut my company down and sell the assets. It was the government was this sort of adversarial group of people who, when you tried to get things done, they looked at you like you were taking money out of their kid's mouth. I mean, it was just remarkable the change that I saw in California. So I moved back home. But for me, the notion of self-ownership, being responsible for yourself and being the arbiter, the final arbiter about what is right for you, is very important to me, and is, the whole notion of freedom and liberty is something that just, again, I'm fully engulfed and I love it. It's fun talking about it.
That's great. You know, there's a lot of conversation, a lot of thought that I have around how we have different kind of sects within our party. And oftentimes it's really hard for everybody to get moving forward in one direction because they go, well, I'm an anarchist, I'm a minarchist, I view things this way, I view things that way. And there's so many free thinkers in the libertarian movement that it's sometimes hard to unify that. So I always try and dig in and find out what people are about, because I think it's important to show that there's a lot of diversity, but yet within that diversity, there's certain themes that everybody seems to share and embrace, and that's what we come from, and that's why we should be able to evolve as a movement and as a party. So that's why I ask all those questions. Let's dive in to some news stuff. Down here in Vegas, we had Trump, and he came to visit, which means we had tremendous traffic problems in town. There was a time a while back when Obama came down. He used to always visit because there's this beautiful place out here called Lake Las Vegas, and there's only one way in. It's gorgeous, and we also have Nellis Air Force Base, so they could have jets overhead circling and making sure he was safe. And one day I was down at Lake Mead, and I got absolutely trapped down there because Obama was in town and the motorcade. It's an incredible production as far as how much they can lock down roads. And, of course, it happened again here with Trump. I think some of the big news with Trump was specifically his speech that he gave, where he called Jackie Rosen Wacky Jackie, which he's big on these name-calling things. And I don't know whether this comes from the fact that he's just he comes from entertainment, and he comes from television, and this personality thing. He called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas several times. And then when people got mad at him, and they said, you know what, you need to apologize for that. And he says, well, to the memory of Pocahontas, I apologize. So he's just stirring stuff up. He mentioned that that he's very proud of the tax cuts, which is really more of like a tax redistribution type thing. He's proud of repealing the individual mandate for Obamacare. He mentioned that in his speech. He also mentioned that both Jackie Rosen and Elizabeth Warren call Nevada by the wrong name. He said Nevada is how they're calling it, which it should be said Nevada. And then he said, that's how I say it. But at the very end of his speech, he called it by the wrong thing. So anyways, it's all very anecdotal to me. It's interesting that he was here. Great having, the president in town. But I can't say that there was much there besides some low blows and, more of the same. But I also heard that you had Jeff Sessions up in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, that's true. Before we move into that, I'm guessing, as I heard, the reason that Trump was in Vegas was because, you know, he's stumping for the guy who's, you know, run for his life in desperation, Dean Heller. Is that right? He was stumping for him down there, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah,
Heller's got a fight on his hands, and, you know, it's unfortunate that, well, whatever. I mean, the bottom line is I think that he'll lose in November, and that, you know, Nevada will, for most people, you know, for all intents and purposes, have flipped from a red to a blue, from a red to a purple to a blue state, which, you know, is troubling in a lot of ways. Obviously, we'd like it to be yellow, and in fact, I'd argue that Nevada is the most libertarian state in the union. But yeah, Jeff Sessions was in Reno. I did go down with my dad, and we were outside protesting his, or at least, you know, giving him some grief. They did manage to shut down Virginia Street, which is the casino's main drag up here. And it was interesting to catch the, you know, the speech. I watched a little bit of it, and in essence, he's vigorously defending, you know, the administration's ideas about immigration, you know, migrant detention, separating kids from their parents, which, you know, that whole thing has really ignited a vigorous debate about, you know, about is it right, is it wrong, you know, are these people criminals? Yeah, you know, when someone gets convicted and thrown in jail, they don't get to take their kids with them, but what's happening to migrant families when they get caught up by Border Patrol is not the same. Folks are looking to, you know, to disband ICE, and it's really just very controversial. I did read a phrase which I don't have in front of me, but basically, you know, as you might expect from someone from Alabama, he invoked the Bible in his defense of you know, separating children from their parents. And you know, most libertarians have a fairly consistent view on the notion of immigration, you know, as people who are seeking to better their lives and trying to take ownership of them. You know, the fact that they want to move from, let's say, Mexico, where the cartels and the government have a murderous lock on the country in many regards, and they want to escape that reality and come someplace where they can make a better life for their family. As libertarians, we're pretty much for that. And David Colburn, our vice chair, I think that's right, our vice chair, wrote a great piece in the Nevada Independent about how Nevada should become a sanctuary state, and really broke down the notion of freedom, and did a great job on the history of our nation and how we've, you know, tried to prevent people like, you know, black slaves from being free and Italian immigrants from, you know, being able to seek their own destiny. So it's, as libertarians, I think many of us share the notion that it's okay to try and better your life. And if you have to break the law to come across the border, you should be able to do so. And of course, Jeff Sessions is like, hey, we want those, you know, those adults are illegally bringing kids in, you know, and those cartels, they pack drugs on those kids, and, you know, they're probably going to grow up to be terrorists. So we got to stop this. And I just find that to be completely tone deaf.
Yeah, I just watched, so I'm going to go down a rabbit hole here because it's what I do. But
I love it.
Good. I saw the movie Sicario, which I think actually comes out in a couple of days, but I'm privileged to have a friend that got an early screening and let me see it. And it covers a lot about immigration in the movie. And it also do some military ops things in the movie, and it's really, really interesting because I think they show it much more realistically than what is often portrayed, where it's everybody's a good guy and the U.S. in this is portrayed sometimes as good, sometimes as bad, like with great intent, but not necessarily executing correctly. And they try and show Mexico and showing like, well, there's a cartel involvement here that's deeply rooted into the government. And it's a very, very complicated issue, which we as libertarians try and keep pretty simple. Like, we are for open borders. When we're talking about public property, open it up, we're fine with that. There are, of course, issues that make it complicated with welfare and stuff like that. And if you want to check out more info on that, last week's podcast, which posted, the previous Saturday, we talk a lot about that. So it's worth checking out. And also check out that movie Cesario, because I thought it was fantastic. I wasn't expecting it to be so good.
Right on. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I know that, like you said, it's basically, there's some great intent and there's some just absurd execution. I have some interesting perspective on this. My ex-wife was a Mexican citizen and didn't speak any English when I married her coming up on 30 years ago. And Mexico, and as you said, the cartels and the government are intertwined so tightly that it's really a remarkable, dangerous, and for guys like us who live here in the United States, it's just an astonishing way of doing business. And I cannot fault anyone from wanting to leave there. Which, as a side note, again, since we're crawling further down the bunny hole, as libertarians, hey, you cut the drug war, the cartels go out of business day after tomorrow, and they stop murdering people. The government, suddenly has to become less corrupt. And guess what? People don't leave, and they want to stay there because Mexico is a beautiful place, and they do have a reasonable economy. So, it's a mess. And, of course, building a wall, I don't see that like solving the problem.
It's fine if it's your yard and you want to build a wall around it, knock yourself out. But it certainly doesn't take a lot of work to get around it. I'm a big fan of Penn & Teller, and on one of their they have a show called Bullshit, and or they did on Showtime. And on one of the episodes, they actually hired illegal immigrants to build a wall, which I thought was very funny. And then they said, okay, now you guys try and get around it. And of course, one dug right under it, one jumped over it, and one went and broke the wood and went right through it. So, and it took them, minutes to bypass. So anyways, it's all very, very ridiculous. I didn't know that about your ex-wife. Are you bilingual?
I'm sorry, are we?
Sam, are you bilingual? I didn't know that your ex-wife only spoke Spanish when you married her.
Sí, yo puedo hablar español un poquito. Mi esposa es mejor que yo, pero yes, I can habla a little bit. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to paid attention in Spanish class, 3 years of high school Spanish, and I was able to converse with her enough to set the hook, so to speak. And it was a lot of fun, and raising our kids bilingual was a lot of fun. It was really easy in California to do. But that's a skill set that I recommend everybody go out and get. Another language helps your brain stay sharp and active. And, of course, Spanish here in the United States is becoming, as we all know, a little bit more prevalent. So, yeah, no, good stuff.
Cool. I did not know you had that skill set. You are full of surprises. So
right on.
Let's jump into this amazing win that just took place. I'm going to butcher this name. I'll give it a shot. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I believe. So this young lady, 28 years old, just beat Joe Crowley with almost no funding and with some grassroots efforts. And now I wouldn't say she's a libertarian. I don't necessarily agree with some of her leanings. She's definitely what I would call a democratic socialist. But what's interesting about this is people often use the argument like, well, if you're not really the mainstream, if it's not going to be that primary party person, you have no chance of winning. Why should I be interested in being a libertarian when there's no chance of winning? And I think this is a really good case for showing that things are changing and people are looking at alternatives because they're getting tired of the same old thing happening the same old way. I mean, if you look at the president of the United States, the last the last two at least, definitely, have been really running on the platform of, you know what, we're going to do it differently, right? Like, Obama was definitely running on a platform of change, and I think Trump got a tremendous amount of votes because he wasn't the standard politician that everyone had seen over and over and over again. So people, I think, are looking for change, and I think this might be a fantastic example of us heading in that direction. What are your thoughts on it, Sam?
You know, I really think that you're dead on. It was refreshing to see her win. Yeah, she. There are many things that she likes to talk about that don't really mesh with with what we believe in. Regardless, it shows. I think it reflects a trend that's growing. Folks are really, really disappointed, disgusted, or even more harsh language. With the way things aren't going in the Beltway and even in here in Carson City. And, I often like to tell people that, the parties themselves used to represent clearly different viewpoints and, sort of political paradigms. And today, more and more, it seems like the traditional people, first off, all they're interested in is getting reelected. And the majority of the time that they spend while they're working is basically being. This is an explicit podcast, right? We can.
I said bullshit earlier, so.
Okay, that's right. You're right. So basically, they're a bunch of whores, right? Yeah, they're just a bunch of whores who are out there selling themselves for the highest bidder or the lowest bidder or any bidder. To carry water for special interests at the expense of you and I. And the reality is that, there's very little difference when it comes to what they're really about. Every 4 years, they'll trot out these little divisive issues and stir up their base, like gun control and abortion and gay rights and gay marriage and transsexual bathrooms and blah, abortion, blah, blah, blah. And then once they're reelected, they put those issues back on the shelf. They get together and they figure out how they can, in essence, screw us to benefit their crony donors. And to see someone like this, basically, in essence, a political nobody, come in for the first time and basically kick someone's, establishment ass is just delightful. I mean, it's just refreshing. And as you said, that, hey, guess what? If you don't believe in those, political ideas, but you do believe in ours, this shows you that the incumbents are no longer as protected as they were, and that it is possible for people like us to be able to make an impact and win an office or two.
Absolutely. It's very, very exciting. Now, there's definitely listeners that haven't, that might not have gone all the way back to like episode one, and you were asking about the explicit tags on the podcast. So I just wanted to follow up on that, because not all of our listeners know this, but we chose specifically in this podcast that we had to make the choice. You've got to put this explicit tag or clean tag on iTunes when you're uploading a podcast. So we were thinking, we're going to get more listeners if we do this clean, because people won't be afraid of listening to it. And then came the thought, like, one of our key values is freedom, and we don't want to stifle that. So if you're ever curious, yes, we are an explicit podcast. We never do it out of to offend. It's not our purpose. We don't want to hurt anybody. We're not trying to make anybody upset. But we embrace the idea of the First Amendment so strongly that we're not going to hide behind language. So, anyways, that's just some thought on that. Last thing up on here. And Sam, I'm going to pass this back to you for this one, because I wish I was more up to date on it, but I'm not. The Janus ruling, Supreme Court ruling on union dues.
So it's really interesting. Obviously, this is, I shouldn't say obviously. For those who don't know, this is a case that originated in Las Vegas. A fella who is in the school system, employed by the nation's largest school district, Clark County School District, basically said, hey, check it out. I don't want to pay union dues, and I don't want to be forced into this union and be expected to toe the line with participating in something that I don't believe in, and having them take money out of my pocket, involuntarily, right? Libertarians are all about the voluntary transactions between willing parties, and he was not down with it. So he took his fight all the way to the Supreme Court, and on Monday, the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, sided with Mr. Janus and said that he is actually free to not, stick with the union and basically be free to discuss other, not participate at all or participate somewhere else. And one of the things that's really interesting is the notion of unions and their place in America. If you listen to guys like Tom Woods, he would suggest that unions actually weren't all that we learned about in school. They weren't all that. They were helpful in some areas, but the real reason that kids don't work 16 hours a day anymore, the real reason that people don't work 16 hours a day anymore, but they work 8, the real reason for all of that was the increased amount of pay that was able to be made, so the parents didn't have to have their kids work, or else the whole family would starve to death, or the kids would starve to death, because capitalism had produced, guys like Henry Ford, who had produced the assembly line, who had produced the Model T, which gave, people an affordable way to get to work and to make things more efficiently, and therefore could afford to pay people more wages. If you look at the union history, the history of unions, and do some honest, some honest research, then you'll find that what we learned as kids may not necessarily be what actually happened. if you look then at the evolution of unions, you'll discover, I think, that most of the union members today work for, wait for it, the government. The SEIU is the biggest union in the country, and they represent, they represent government workers and work on their behalf to get better salaries, to get better working hours, to get better relations with the government, and to get better benefits. And all of those things, if you're a government worker, are great. But if you're a taxpayer, they suck. And so this was, I think, a win for everyday Americans, for taxpayers, for people who like freedom, for people who want to be able, if they want to join a union, are welcome to. If they don't, they're welcome not to. So it was a good thing. The thing that, of course, I think we're going to find is, one of the side notes is that it was a split decision 5-4, and that means that that there's division, surprise, surprise, on the Supreme Court bench, and that some people, were vehemently against this idea of quote, gutting the labor unions, unquote. It's very interesting. I'm curious what your perspective is on it, even though you haven't done a ton of research on it.
Yeah, well, I support people's freedom to associate, obviously. I think that's really, really important. So when you're talking about people being able to unionize, that's all about freedom to associate. But part of that freedom to associate is also the right to not associate. It just as important as being able to be allowed to be part of a group is to choose not to want to be part of that group or to not be involved. As far as unions are concerned specifically, and this is an area that I'm grossly underqualified to comment about because I haven't read up a ton about this stuff. I think that the idea of a group coming together to protect themselves is fantastic. But I also believe that unions have kind of morphed from that identity to being often groups that are almost almost too aggressive in combat, that sometimes protect people that don't deserve that same the level of protection that they're assuring based off of the power and weight that they're pushing around. That's not to say that I don't think people should be able to unionize. It's just that some of these unions are so powerful, like the Teamsters and such, that their power may become kind of corrupt in some levels. I've seen that happen. In here, we've got the there's a union that was fighting the UFC in New York because, and they did like table service and stuff out here, and they wouldn't let the UFC into New York because of lobbying, and it was just a mess. And while I think people should have the right to protect their jobs from being mistreated from their employer, I think there's also the risk that when you organize to such a degree with such a massive amount of people where you can basically stop an entire industry, there's detriment in that as well. And so it's a hard balance of people uniting and where that balance of power needs to lie. And again, I'm underqualified in this. I don't have an official, like, here's the libertarian position on unions. But I do think that it's fantastic that this man doesn't have to partake in it if he doesn't want to. I think that is the right decision. I think the Supreme Court came to the right choice on that. You know, Sam, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being on the show today. And we've talked about it, and it looks like you're going to be able to be on the program a lot more often, like, you know, every other week or so. So I just wanted to thank you, and I hope everybody enjoys Sam and sees him as a new voice and potentially a new face that you're going to get more familiar with. So thank you again for being a part of this.
Ty, it's a real pleasure. I'm looking forward to being on more shows and helping you spread the message of liberty to more and more folks. I think it's a great thing. I do have a little bit of experience in radio. In fact, I'm going down to Reno to cut a show later on this afternoon. And that was one of the things is, you know, on the whole explicit rating, I'm used to being very careful. I have a very colorful set of language that I like to use. And so I'm really looking forward to helping add some color and some different perspectives. I really enjoy listening to you and Alex and, you know, the hard work that you do to produce this show. And I really look forward to helping out. So thank you.
Fantastic. Well, let's wrap it up. And until next time, let's make it all about freedom.
This show is brought to you by the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Music is provided by T. Sims. Please support the show by subscribing, sharing it with friends, and leaving a positive review on iTunes. For more information or to learn how to get involved, visit lpnevada.org. Thank you for listening.